I was a communist for the FBI. Starring Dana Andrews in an exciting tale of danger and espionage, I was a communist for the FBI. From the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Cervetic come many of the incidents in this unusual story. Here is our star, Dana Andrews, as Matt Cervetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI.
A traitor is a miserable thing, even to himself. During those 9 long, endless years I spent as a communist for the FBI, the overwhelming feeling of treachery never left me. And yet you, mister, never seemed to feel a thing. Maybe you ignored it because of your sense of fair play. Maybe the wind of red propaganda confused you. Whatever the cause, ignorance or indifference, this attitude is dangerous. I want you to hear my story. It's the story of communism.
In a moment, listen to Dana Andrews as Matt Cervetic, undercover man. Here is Dana Andrews as Matt Cervetic, undercover man. This story from the confidential file is marked The Red Gate.
You lost no time getting here, Comrade Cervetic.
I don't like to keep cell leaders waiting, Comrade Millar, especially when I'm told they want to see me immediately.
This is a matter of great importance. Your success or failure on this mission may mean the success or failure of the party at some future date.
Go on.
These recent wholesale defection and exposures of party members have cost us the services of some of our most valuable people. Members who were in excellent positions for sabotaging war plants, power and communications.
That's a serious loss.
Your mission is to replace those people with others who are entirely unknown to the FBI.
Recruiting trustworthy people isn't an overnight job, comrade.
This is not recruiting, Comrade Cervetic. Our replacements are waiting below the Mexican border. Your assignment is to get them across that border into this country.
Alone?
You'll have all the help you need when you get to the West Coast.
When do I leave?
Even I won't know until I pick up your tickets. New York made the arrangements.
Afraid of possible information leaks, eh?
Obviously. Go to your hotel and get your things together. I'll bring your tickets there within the next hour.
This is Cervetic. I'm in a phone booth.
Go ahead.
I'm going to the West Coast. Maybe this afternoon, maybe tonight. Super secret.
Sounds like it.
It's a big project. Bringing strangers across the Mexican border.
Going alone?
Until I reach the coast. I don't know where I'll be put down.
We'll cover all West Coast airports from San Francisco south. Wherever you get off the plane, keep changing your grip from hand to hand as you walk. You'll be contacted when it looks safe.
Okay. I'll see you later.
I hope so. Good luck.
Thanks. After arranging for my West Coast FBI contact, I hurried to my room and threw some things into a bag. I've just flopped on my bed and stretched out for a little rest when Comrade Millar arrives with some disquieting news.
Our West Coast people are handling this, Comrade Cervetic, under the direction of the MVD. If they have reason to believe that enemy agents are making their periodic checks of airports, you'll be taken off your plane somewhere en route.
How will I make the contact?
Your plane makes several stops. At each stop, you are to get out to stretch your legs. The party member approaching you, wherever it may be, will say, "It was certainly a red sunset last night, wasn't it?" Your reply will be, "I didn't notice, really."
I didn't notice, really.
Right. Here's your ticket, Comrade Cervetic. It's for San Diego, and your plane leaves in 35 minutes. I'll drive you to the airport.
¶¶ Lieutenant Millar stays at my side until I board the plane and stands watching until we take off. So I have no chance to notify the FBI of the possibility of my leaving the plane before it reaches the West Coast airports that they're watching. Following orders, I get out at each stop, but no attempt is made to contact me. I'm beginning to relax. Then, as the plane circles the field at Albuquerque, the man sitting next to me speaks.
It was certainly a red sunset last night, wasn't it?
It's seconds before I realize the significance of what he said. Then I manage to stammer. I didn't notice, really.
Take your bag when you get off this time.
Right.
Walk to the airport parking lot and wait for me at the entrance. I'm Comrade Coleman. You're under my orders.
I'm under Comrade Colma's orders. There's nothing unusual about that, but instinctively, I tighten up. I don't like this guy, and I can feel that he doesn't like me. I don't know why, but I can sense the hate in him. Hate for me, personally. It's still there when he joins me at the airport parking lot and we get in a car to drive to Los Angeles. He says nothing, just looks at me out of the corner of his eye now and then. Finally, hours later, after we've passed through Needles, California, and are starting across the Mojave Desert, he speaks. But there's no information or comfort for me in anything he says.
You're doing a lot of thinking, Comrade Savetic.
You didn't seem to want to talk.
This is an important project.
Yeah.
If nothing goes wrong, we'll have this country flooded with people the FBI has never heard of. Trained people who can stop production for weeks whenever we get the order.
We've got to get them across the border first.
That's why we're here, you and I. It's believed that we're not known to the FBI, at least on the West Coast.
So that's why I was chosen for the assignment.
Only partially. I asked for you specifically, Comrade Savetti.
Oh, it's very flattering, inasmuch as we've never met.
My brother spoke very highly of you once.
Your brother?
He was with you on one of your less successful missions.
Oh.
There was an information leak somewhere, Comrade Zvedek. My brother wasn't as lucky as you. I miss him greatly.
Are you trying to blame me for whatever happened to your brother?
I'm making no formal charges, Comrade. I'm merely warning you. Make certain that nothing goes wrong on this mission. Because on this project, I'm making you my special project. For purely personal reasons.
This makes it really tough. Comrade Colma isn't just a naturally suspicious MVD man. He's an MVD man who lost his brother on a mission and blames me for it. We don't exchange another word until we reach Los Angeles and enter the house of Comrade Walters.
You had trouble finding my place, comrades?
A little, Comrade Walters.
Too bad. But so have the FBI. That is good.
You have orders for Comrade Savetic and me?
Yeah. But first, I must explain the operation to you. Oh, sit down, Comrade Savetic.
Thanks, Comrade.
Now, we can thank the Americans themselves for the mechanics of this operation. It is an underground railway.
And we're helping slaves, too.
Spoken like a true communist, Comrade Svetik.
Yes.
What is the meaning of this, Comrade Colma?
Nothing.
You two dislike each other?
How could we? We only met on the plane coming out here.
Uh-huh. Antagonism between you two could defeat the whole project.
I save my antagonism for the enemy.
Good, good. And you, Comrade Colma?
Look, why don't we quit talking and get down to business, huh?
Who is in charge here, Comrade Colma?
You are, Comrade Wallace.
Then I will handle this in my own way, without any comment from you.
Yeah, of course, Comrade.
Well, then, it's good we understand each other. Now, from Oceanside North, I have arranged for stations in this underground railway.
What do you mean by stations, Comrade?
Buildings, attics, cellars, where after you get them that far, our people can rest and keep out of sight until we can manufacture the proper identifications and move them into the desired jobs.
This has taken a lot of work, Comrade Walters.
Yeah, and patience, Comrade Svetik. Some of our underground station masters have required considerable persuading.
Oh.
Look, what do we come into this, Comrade?
You are impatient, aren't you, Comrade Colma?
Sorry.
Never mind. I was coming to that anyway. Because I do not speak exactly English like an American, I have made no attempt to establish stations between the border and Oceanside. But this must be established on the ranches in the back country. You and Comrade Svetik must handle those.
You have a plan, I suppose, Comrade.
Yeah, I have a plan for everything, Comrade. Now, I have here a map. Here, these circles indicate ranches without telephones, ranches where the owners have been very tolerant about Mexican wetbacks. Posing as ranches from Northern California, you and Comrade Colma will approach these southern ranches asking for help in shoving a bunch of wetback laborers north for you. Now, most of them feel sorry for the Mexicans anyway and will be glad to cooperate.
And those who don't, we remind of their previous crimes.
Exactly. Now, after you have completed arrangements with the ranchers, which should not take more than 2 days, you will proceed to Tijuana, Mexico. I will meet you there, in the Hotel Rosario.
For 2 days, Comrade Colma and I drive the back roads of San Diego County, seeing nothing but ranches, reservations, and rattlesnakes. And Comrade Walters has the ranches pegged right. Of course, we promise that the wetbacks will do a day's labor for each rancher who gives them shelter, and that we'll pay for it at the other end of the line. It's a good deal for everybody. Even Comrade Colma acts almost human. And when we report to Comrade Walters at the Hotel Rosario in Tijuana, he's happy about the whole thing, almost.
You have done very well, comrades.
What's our next move?
To send our people back over the route you have just followed. Unfortunately, we must wait a few days.
Why?
The Border Patrol has been suddenly, unaccountably reinforced. It is very strange.
An information leak?
Possibly. However, according to an informant who loiters near the Border Patrol station at the Tijuana gate, they are searching for a missing FBI undercover man.
Back to Dana Andrews, starring as Matt Savetic in I Was a Communist for the FBI and the second act of our story.
They're searching for a missing FBI undercover man. When Comrade Walter says that, I want to yell, dance, and sing. And it must show in my face because suddenly I realize that Comrade Walters and Comrade Colma are both staring at me curiously.
You react strangely to this unfortunate situation, Comrade Svetik.
Strangely? How do you mean?
Well, a suspicious man might think you're pleased by the search.
Oh. No, as a matter of fact, I am pleased.
Yeah, I thought so.
And why are you pleased, Comrade Svetik?
Because any time an FBI undercover man is missing, Comrade, you and I have one less rat to worry about.
Yeah, that is one way of looking at it.
This isn't going to change our plans, is it?
It might. This requires thought.
Plenty.
And in order to think, I must eat.
I could stand something myself.
Then you go get some sandwiches, comrade.
All right. What kind do you want?
Oh, it makes no difference, just so there is plenty of them.
Okay.
Yeah, but you stay here, Comrade Colma. I need someone to talk to bounce ideas against. Because you are naturally disagreeable, you will argue and make me think. Comrade Svetik will get the sandwiches.
This is the break I've been playing for. A chance to get away from Comrade Colma. A chance to contact the FBI, if I can just get to a phone. Then as I spot a phone booth and head toward it, I have a hunch.
Walters may have been giving Colma a lot of conversation. They may be checking up on me. I turn around and head back toward the hotel and bump right into Comrade Colma.
Why don't you look where you...
Well, Comrade Colma, I was just coming back to the room.
Oh. Where are the sandwiches?
Well, I didn't get them yet. You didn't tell me whether you wanted yours with or without.
You're pretty clever, Comrade Savitic.
Clever?
You fooled Walters completely.
I hear what you're saying, comrade, but it doesn't mean anything, at least to me.
But it will someday, because I'm not fooled. Someday, comrade, you're going to make a slip. And when you do, I'll be there.
I know right then that there's no pretend about Comrade Colma. This is one MVD goon who can take it as well as dish it out. I'm not ready for a showdown, so I turn and go back to the hotel room where Comrade Walters is waiting.
Where are the sandwiches, comrade?
I forgot about them.
Forgot about the sandwiches? That is what you went out for.
Sure, but when I bumped into my shadow, I forgot all about them.
That Colma, stupid.
Look, Comrade Walters, if you don't think I'm right for this assignment, if you don't trust me, take me off it. Send me home.
But I do trust you, like a comrade.
You just have more faith in Colma?
Now, why should you think that?
There's no one out following him around.
I was not following you, comrade. It was his idea.
I wonder.
You doubt my word, comrade?
No, I was just wondering. I've never seen Comrade Colma before this mission, and yet he seems awfully anxious to get me out of the way.
A little overzealous, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
What are you driving at, comrade?
Wouldn't it help an FBI undercover rat if he could drive a wedge between you and me?
You think Colma is the missing... Oh, no, Comrade Svetik. You are letting your anger talk. Come on.
Where are we going?
To an old deserted mine a few miles out in the desert east of here. 23 of our people are hiding there.
23?
Yeah, all of them key production personnel and expert saboteurs. Comrade Walters does not engage in small projects.
I didn't realize how very important you must be, comrade.
I am useful. Now let us be on our way, Comrade Svetik.
What about Colma?
He gave you something to think about. We give him something to think about. Come along.
Drive out to the mine over a road that had Brega rattlesnakes back and callous its belly, rough, tough, and twisting. And when Comrade Walters leads me into the mine tunnel, where our people are waiting, I get a real surprise. At least half of them are blue-eyed blondes. When we get back outside, I mention this to Comrade Walters.
What of it, comrade? The color of a man's eyes or hair cannot lessen his value to us?
How many blonde, blue-eyed Mexicans do you know, Comrade Walters?
I don't know, but there must be some.
Possibly, but those ranchers won't be expecting to see them. And if they do, they'll talk about it.
Yeah, I had not thought of that.
Well, you've been busy with bigger problems.
Yeah, much bigger, comrade.
But one little slip like this could cost us the entire project.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I am glad we thought of it in time. How do we fix it?
Dye their hair and stain their skins. If they look dark enough and keep their heads down, their eyes may not be noticed.
Yeah. Where do we get the dye and stain?
I'll have to make inquiries after we get back to Tijuana. We drive back to the hotel and find Comrade Colma waiting for us. He's ready to blow his top. But Comrade Walters is on my side now.
While you were out running around the town, Comrade Svetik was with me, working on the project. Did you do anything to help the cause, Comrade Colma?
He doesn't even give Colma a chance to answer. Instead, he orders me to go out and get the stain and dye we need to make our blonde comrades look like brunette Mexicans.
And this time, Comrade Svetik, you won't be followed. I promise you that.
Now maybe I have a chance. The first drugstore I go into has the stain and dye that I need. But I don't want to buy it in the first store. I want to attract attention. hoping that the Border Patrol, too, has its informers, and that one of them will report that an American is trying to buy stain and dye that'll make him look like a Mexican. I cover the town, taking plenty of time, but no one follows me. Finally, I go back to the first store and buy the stuff I'm after. It makes a pretty good-sized package, and as I step out into the street, I shift it from one hand to the other. As I do, a guy steps up to me.
Got a match?
I think so. Wait till I ship this package.
You always shift things you're carrying from one hand to the other?
Shift things from one hand to the other. Then I remembered. When you get off the plane, shift your bag from one hand to the other. This is the recognition sign the FBI gave me before I left home. I grin before I answer. Usually I do when I get off plane.
We missed you.
Not half as much as I missed you.
It was a smart move making a conspicuous buy of that stuff.
I was afraid to phone.
What's the setup?
23 trained saboteurs in an old deserted mine a few miles east. Going across as Mexican wetbacks as far as Oceanside. Red Underground Railway takes over from there.
When do they move?
It hasn't been decided yet. The reinforced Border Patrol has scared them.
Okay, we'll contact you through Walters.
Walters? Is he on our side?
No. But we have people who give him information we want him to have. Only the next information will be for you.
Before I can mention that Walters has informants who are not working for the Bureau, the agent breaks the contact by walking into the crowded store and never looking back. Now I'm worse off than I was before. The Bureau will be sending me information, but Walters will be getting other information, and I won't know which is which. I'm in a great spot to lose my neck. And when I get back to the hotel room, I can see that Colma has been working on Walters again.
You took plenty of time, Comrade Svetik.
Well, it isn't easy to buy large quantities of this stuff without arousing suspicion, Comrade Walters.
What makes you think you were successful?
What makes you think I wasn't?
The Border Patrol was informed that an American was buying stain and dye to make him look like a Mexican.
When did you hear that?
When you were out shopping. Or whatever it was you were doing.
Here are the packages.
We're going to have to move fast, Comrade Svetik.
You give the orders, I'll follow them.
They're going out to the mine immediately. We will make up our people to look like Mexicans and go across the border tonight.
Tonight?
There will be no moon. We will start as soon as it is dark.
But what about the Border Patrol?
While you and I were gone this afternoon, Comrade Colma was working, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was able to enlist the services of several experienced Mexicans. Men who've made the trip across the border many times. They will lead our parties.
The contact came too late. The FBI will never be able to get information to me, and I can't get word to them. I get panicky as I realize that the only thing standing between a mob of red saboteurs and their dirty jobs is me, Matt Svetik. We drive out to the mine and stain the faces and dye the hair of our comrades. Finally, it's dark, and the Mexican guides Colma has arranged for come to pick us up.
There are seven of us, senor. Split your party into equal groups and we will get started.
Split them up, Colma, Svetik.
Do we go in the same party, Comrade Walters? Or do we three split up too?
We are not going with them, Comrade Svetik.
Why not?
Why should we? We came across the border openly. We will go back the same way.
But if there's trouble, will these people be able to work their way out of it?
Maybe you are right. Maybe we should go with them, Comrade Svetik. What do you think, Comrade Colma?
Wherever Comrade Svetik goes, I'm going too.
After hiding our car in an old shed where it won't attract attention, we head for the border, single file, to cross at a spot where our guides assure us is perfectly safe. We've walked and slipped and stumbled over about 3 miles of desert when the leader of our entire party passes between two close-set rocks and disappears, followed by the others. By Comrade Walter's orders, I'm the last man in the last group guarding against strays and stragglers. And as I pass through the opening in the rocks, a Mexican pulls me into the shadows and whispers,
"Yell out to the comrades. I think this is a trap. Then run back through those rocks."
"Who are you?"
"A friend. You're not the only ones who can use that stain and dye. Now, before they get suspicious, yell a warning to them and get out."
"Oh, yes, Comrade Walters."
"What are you doing? Why aren't you here?"
"Yell your warning."
"Well, I think this is a trap, comrade."
"What?"
"I think this is a trap. I'm getting out of here. Follow me."
"All right.
Stop him! Stop him, man!"
"I'll stop him, friend. I'll stop him. Go on!"
"Well, Matt, that cleans it up."
"Yeah, those Mexicans certainly had me fooled."
"They fooled Comrade Colma, too. If he hadn't gotten in touch with them, well, we'd never have known you were moving out."
"They don't like spies and saboteurs any better than we do, huh?"
"Not a bit. In fact, it was one of those boys who settled Colma's hash when he was trying to knock you off."
"What happens with Walters?"
"He's being deported. Incidentally, while he refuses to give us your name, he speaks very highly of you and taunts us with the way you escaped our trap."
Comrade Walters admired me. Spy, saboteur, possible murderer, he admired me. While my brothers and sisters, loyal Americans, grew cold and distant when I entered the room. For 9 long years, this was my choice. To be shunned by those I loved and served, or to be admired by those I detested. I couldn't face up to either choice, so I chose to walk alone.
Dana Andrews will return in just a moment.
This is Dana Andrews. Although you may not see any surface indications, the tempo of the Cold War is rising. At the moment, it's a silent, bitter, undercover struggle. And in that silence lies our greatest danger. If we feel that we can relax, we can't. To protect innocent persons, the names, dates, and places you've heard mentioned are fictitious. But there's nothing fictitious about the danger. Next week, we'll bring you another strange adventure based on the fantastic experiences of Matt Svedek. Join us, won't you?